Welcome. There be no place like home when our love God sing us get home.
Good morning. What a privilege and honor we have to be in the house of the Lord today, once again to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our worship services have started out with a bang, and we're mindful of the scripture that have tells us that there's more joy in heaven over one soul that repented than over 99 that needeth no repentance. So we're thankful for that soul that has put Christ on in baptism. That is the greatest decision that you can make in life. And once you make that decision, the next is to remain faithful unto death. I had Brother Johnny read Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14, which will save us about 10 minutes on this lesson. So meet me in Luke chapter 17. So I want you to keep what you heard in the book of Leviticus in your mind. I'm going to make some points in this lesson that we will tie back to what was said in Leviticus. And when I make the connection, I think it'll be quite clear. But, you know, for the sake of time, you wanted to kind of set it up so we could be systematic as well as timely. This morning, I was joking with Riley this morning. I said I had to preach, and I told her it'd be short. And she told me, Dad, last time you said it was going to be short. It was not short. So needless to say, I have that in my mind, and we're going to see how timely we can be. Regardless of the fact, we will honor God. We will serve God, and His word will be preached. And if I don't cover everything that I have in my notes, that's okay. I'll just finish it up tonight. No big deal. But I do realize that when you preach God's word, sometimes there's so many things that you want to talk about. Sometimes you got to simplify it so everyone can follow. When you've taken the time to study and prepare, you know where you want to go, and sometimes you have to allow people to be able to make the connection so they can get it. But in Luke chapter 17, we will look at verses 11 through verse number 17. Verse 18, we'll read it. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole. Now, as you look at this lesson, these men had leprosy. And if you understand anything about the disease of leprosy, leprosy will place you in a predicament where you were cast out. You were on the outside looking in. You could not be near family, friends, or loved ones. But it's amazing how when you have a problem, whether you a Jew or a Gentile, black or white, whatever, when you're going through the same thing, many times you end up in the same place. These 10 men, you had 9 Jews and you had 1 Samaritan. They all had the same problem, and that problem they had was leprosy, which allowed for them to be in the same place. Now, I got 3 major points that I'll just highlight to help you remember this story. Anytime you look at this, I kind of broke it down like this. You have 10 men with a problem. I call that the tragic 10. Then we have the negligent 9, and then we have the thankful 1. So you have the tragic 10, the negligent 9, and the thankful one. That's basically the outline of this lesson. There was a song years ago in the 70s. One thing that this lesson helps remind me of, that the importance of being thankful. Being thankful for every little thing that you have. Sometimes we just take for granted the fact that you had a bed to sleep in. The fact that you had an AC that you can adjust the temperature. The fact that you had a car, or you have money to go to the grocery store and buy the food that you want. That you have choices. The little things in life we sometimes don't give thanks for. There was a song years ago. Went a little something like this. This is actually before my time. But I got to thinking about this song, because my granddaddy used to sing, and I hear it a lot. It said, though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, gangster white walls, TV antennas in the back, you may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got. My granddaddy used to say that. See, that's what the problem is in this world, is people do not understand how to be thankful for what they got. See, my granddaddy would tell you in a minute, I'm from the ghetto. And I never had much in my life, but the one thing he wanted was for his kids to have more than he did. And he said, I can die a happy man because they have more than what I have. They don't live in the ghetto anymore, and they made better decisions. But one thing he always stressed to me and my brothers was we needed to be thankful for what we got. See, case in point, we would be like, granddaddy, can we get some water? And then he would give us some water. We didn't have ice. We'll start complaining. He'll say, just be thankful for what you got. He said, when I was growing up, we didn't have ice all the time because, you know, he's a little bit older. But I learned just to be thankful for what you got. And we have to do that in life. As we look at this story, it's quite interesting. It gives us a setting. He went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. When you look at the historical standpoint, this stuff is important based on where Jerusalem is and these cities. At center stage, Jesus, Calvary's hero, the answer to our agony, the sinner savior. At center stage, the healer of all of our hurts, the overcomer's overcomer. At center stage, Jesus is standing in the midst of the crowd. There were 10 leprous men. They all were sick in need of a blessing. We too, all are sick in need of a blessing. What I need may be different from what you need, but we all need something. Leprosy is a loathsome disease. Leprosy was a type of disease where your bones will become brittle and will snap and break at any moment. Their flesh was filled with scales and scabs, and their flesh bore hideous sores all over their bodies. Their joints will become separated, and their fingers and toes and extremities of the body will become paralyzed. And after just a few days of having this loathsome disease, flesh would literally fall from their bones. What an awful sight to behold. But this was the undone condition of these lepers. It was so bad that mothers would rush their children from one side of the street to the other. First century gangbangers would pelt them with rocks and stones and scorn them and make mockery of them. Members of their own family could be punished if they came within 50 feet of them. They had to live in the slum colonies and not with the general population. Here we are. The master is within the midst of 10 leprous men. Now let's look at these 10 leprous men. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The tragic 10, they had a problem. But look what they did. Look how they had an issue and they had a problem, but look how united the Jews and the Samaritan was. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If you live long enough, you will be in a predicament where all you can say is, Jesus, have mercy on me. See, if you live life long enough, you're going to have problems in your home. And sometimes all you can say is have mercy, because sometimes you don't have the answer. Sometimes you're not pulling from the same end of the rope. You're not understanding each other. You're not communicating. You're not doing it the way God would have you to do it. And sometimes you just say, have mercy on me. Sometimes you might have problems, financial woes. And all you can say is have mercy. Maybe you pay for one thing and then you say, oh, okay, I'm just getting over this situation. The next thing you know, your car go out, and the next thing you know, the roof has to be fixed, and this one thing after the next. But as Brother AC taught us last week, when you get rocked, just roll. And see, when you think about that, you know, last week was one of those weeks I got rocked and I just had to roll. You know, one morning I was driving, I go to the gym early in the morning, right? So I was driving in the car, caught a flat tire. I'm like, man, this is not good. But guess what? I just had got off the highway and I looked at a situation like this. I said, it didn't happen on the highway. I'm safe. I pulled over. I said, well, I could call my wife and wake her up, but I'm just going to call my buddy there at the gym. My buddy said, well, yeah, about a half mile from the gym. I said, I was going to run. He said, I'll come pick you up. So I went and worked out, did what I had to do. After I worked out, guess what? Buddy took me back to the car. We changed the tire. No problem. Didn't even call my wife. She didn't even know it was an issue until I got home and told her. But God is good. See, I didn't worry about that. I got rocked, but I just rolled, because that was something that happens in life. But these men, they stood afar off, and they said to Jesus, have mercy on us. See, when you think about mercy, mercy is sometimes it's a great thing to have. We need it sometimes. Sometimes when you're in the wrong and you make mistakes, you just want to have mercy. You're in a bad situation, you're in a bad predicament, but they cried out, and they were afar off, which lets us know that they didn't violate what was taught in Leviticus, where when you were unclean, you were left, you had to notify people and say, unclean, unclean. Can't you imagine being in a situation if you had a problem and you were required by the law to tell people that you were unclean? Imagine if you had family and friends and loved ones that wanted to see, but they were bound by the confines of the law not to come within 50 feet of you. 50 feet is about 16 yards. And that's quite a distance. They couldn't even come within, you know, to where about what Brother D'Angelo is. They couldn't even come within you if you had that issue. But these men had a problem. But the good thing about this tragic problem is they called out to the right person. They said, have mercy on us. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, which lets us know when we call out to the Lord, he does not discriminate. Because he said unto them, not just the Jews, he said to all of them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, the reason they had to show themselves to the priests is because of what we read in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. There were certain things that we had to do, and y'all got that, so we ain't got to cover that. They had to show themselves to the priest so they could be released from the confines of where they were. And it came to pass that as they went, notice, as they listened to what God said, the scripture said, they were cleansed. The message is this: when you do what God says, you get the results that he always promises. He tells us if we want to have a long life, that children should obey their parents, because this is the first commandment with promise. I tell my daughter, if you want to live a long life, you need to listen to what your mom and your dad say, because it will be well with your soul. Because we have a duty to train her up in the way she should go, so when she's old, she will not depart from it. We must teach God's word all the time. But as they went, they were cleansed. Look at this, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. So this was happening as they were walking, or however they were traveling to get there. He could realize that he was healed. He turned back. Imagine, you're going to see the priest so you can get released. But when you realize you're healed, instead of going to the priest, you turn back. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. How many of us, when great things happen in our life, glorify God? Praise God. Give him thanks for allowing things to go your way, or things to work out in your favor. Or you ever been in a situation you don't know how something's going to come through, and the next thing you know, something happens that it just works itself on out? This man went back, glorified God, fell down on his face. Have you ever fell down on your face to glorify God? at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now think about it. The Jews knew about the coming Savior. They knew the law. They knew certain things that a Samaritan may or may not have known. But this Samaritan had the presence of mind to understand when he was healed that he didn't need to go any further, that he needed to turn back and to give thanks. Look at it this way. How many of us are Christians in the Lord Church that know exactly what we should do and how we should do it and why we should do it, but we do not do it? How many people are like the negligent nine? They understood what they needed to do. But let's just keep reading. The Samaritan did what you think the Jews would have done because they had a better understanding. But the Samaritan, when he recognized that he was healed, he stopped, went back with a loud voice. He wasn't even quiet. You know, he wasn't trying to do it. He wanted to be, it was excited. See, it's football season. If I bet I went and watched some football game with some of you guys in here, I promise you, they would probably scare you how excited they get if you hear Roll Tide, Go Gators, the Cowboys, the Seminoles, and these guys get loud. And I know guys get loud because I get loud when I watch football. I was watching the game one time. I got so loud I scared my wife and my daughter. You know, so I know I just got to calm down. So I just imagine when he had a loud voice, that he had a disease that could cause his bones to fall off and his flesh to come off, that when he saw that he was healed, he was overcome with a lot of joy, and he turned back and he said, thank you. In a prostrate position. Where did he learn that? When we get good things from God, do we have that mindset where we just say, thank you? See, I remember when my daughter was born. I used to sit there and my wife would sleep, and I would just read the Bible while my wife was sleeping. I would just start in Genesis, just going through the Bible. I would just read the Bible because I wanted her to hear the word. I used to just read, and I used to just pray and pray and pray because I was thankful that God said, you know what? We wanted a child, and it happened a little sooner than we wanted it to. We was praying and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to have a child. We start planning the next thing, you know, boom. One day my wife tell me, I need to meet you for lunch. That was no big deal. But then when she meet me for lunch, she just kind of was doing different things. I'm like, wow, I'm kind of slow. You know, I was kind of slow how she was breaking it down. So, you know, she kind of setting it up and going. And then next thing you know, she gave me a card and I'm looking and I'm like, hold on. Telling me, I'm going to be a dad, you know, and I was very excited. You know, I was loud and people probably looking at me crazy, but, you know, that's a wonderful thing. But we got to learn to give thanks like this one who was thankful. Because when you give thanks, see this thing, kids have birthday parties, they get gifts and stuff, and they don't even like to say thank you sometimes. It's like it's an expectation. Like, I'm supposed to have this. I'm entitled to this. And I remember, you know, growing up, and my mom used to tell me sometimes, if you ever have children, you'll learn to understand what it means to a parent for you to say thank you. Because if I buy my child something and do different things and she don't say thank you, it troubles me. And I have to ask myself, you know, as a parent, I got to make sure that I have to teach her the value of appreciation, as well as understanding that because you have these things, you're not entitled to it. Not everyone has the same thing, but let's look what he did. He fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, look what Jesus said. Jesus is concerned about the whole, not just the one that came back. Jesus said, now this is a telltale story that when God does good stuff for us, that we need to make sure we take the time to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you for this food that you've given me. Thank you for these clothes that are big because I've been losing weight, but thank you for belts. See, I thank God for glasses. I thank God for contacts. Because if I didn't have contacts, I promise you, I couldn't probably see past right here. But I'm thankful for that. And the people that God allowed to develop those things because I can see, and when I have my contacts in, I can see in high definition. I feel pretty good. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Now, when I think about that 9, I think about the church. The 9 were the Jews that had been taught year in and year out from their parents the law, and they understood certain things. Where are the 9? The elders probably often say that. Where are the 9? You know, you got to look at it. People that know, but don't do. Look what he says. There are not 9, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. Which lets us know, God put us here to glorify him, to serve him, to magnify his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. That's why he said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God on this behalf. People will glorify God based off us doing things the way we should. Jesus points out here that 10 were cleansed, but only one came back to say thank you. Now, you know, for you math people, 90% didn't come back. That's a pretty big number when you consider that they all had the same problem. What made it to this leper, this Samaritan? Why would he have the mindset to stop and turn back around and say thank you? It's clear. His appreciation, his understanding, and his adoration for what happened to him was greater than the others that received the same thing. It is possible for you can give everyone the same exact same thing and you're going to get different results. There are many Christians that have obeyed the gospel, that are in the Lord's church. But guess what? Each one of us do different things based off our understanding, our knowledge, and our appreciation, and our adoration. Based off our understanding, sometimes we'll go that extra mile. Because we understand that, guess what? When I was on my way to hell, going 200 miles per hour in this denomination, not doing what God wanted me to do, when someone took the time to tell me that I was wrong and teach me, you know what? That has slowed me down to really appreciate that I thought I was right, but I was wrong. When I realized I was wrong, now I'm right. I'm willing to go and go wherever and help others. So you got the tragic 10, which represents the masses, right? Then you have the negligent 9, the 9 that didn't even want to come back and say thank you. And I'm sitting there thinking and wondering why. Why wouldn't you say thank you? But then you start saying, no, don't be hard on them, because many times we do not say thank you. We do not say thank you when we don't treat our spouses right. And we're the one who prayed to God and asked for a spouse. We don't say thank you when we don't treat our children right. We don't say thank you when we go to our jobs and we don't do our very best. We're not saying thank you when we don't utilize all the talents that God has given us. We are people sometimes that don't say thank you. And I look at this and I apply it to myself and I say there's areas I can improve. I need to be on my knees more like this Samaritan, giving thanks because God has brought me a mighty, mighty long way. And he's protected me. See, I can tell you another reason that made me realize how far God brought me. I went around and saw my mom the other day, and she gave me some old stuff, and I even had a report card in there. And you know, I used to struggle in school with certain things, and I remember, and I showed my wife this report card. You know, she never had a report card like this. You know, but you know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. You know, it wasn't, you know, to the standard that I would expect my child to have. You know, it was a struggle, but it was my second grade report card. That was the time when I used to have to go to this one place 5 days a week to work on my reading and comprehension. And you know, people used to say that I wouldn't amount to nothing, I wouldn't do different things, but I had a parent that invested in me and believed in me and told me that I could do it. And guess what? I believed that, and then guess what? I started to do, and guess what? My issues with school became no problem because they invested in me. And I invested in my child. I paid for it, because if my mom didn't do that when I was in the second grade in 1989, I might not be doing what I'm doing now. Invest in your children. And don't ever let anyone tell them they can't do anything. See, the one thing that you have to understand when you look at this story is not placed in the Bible for us to feel sorry for the leprosy. Many of us will look at it, we feel sorry because that's a bad condition. You know, and I get that. But one thing that I like about these 10 lepers is that they did not try to pretend that they knew. They knew who they were. The principle we need to take from this is that we need to remember that we are all sinners. Some of us are saved sinners, and some of us are alien sinners and need to be saved. But we all need a Savior. Many of us, we just have to be honest and be honest with who we are. See, leprosy required that you admit who you were. See, the lepers were required to cry out unclean. How many marriages still would be together if one, if not both, would be willing to admit, I am unclean? How many frustrations, how many heartaches, how many hard times could be avoided if we would just be honest and say, I am unclean? See, when I was growing up, my younger brother figured something out when he was like 5 years old that it took me a long time to figure out. He would get in trouble and do all different types of things. And when my parents would come up to the school, they would ask him, did he do it? They said, Robert, did you do it? He'll say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I did it. And every time he did that, the blow, the repercussions was he was dealt with, but he was dealt with in a much lighter manner than we thought he would be dealt with. And the reason being was he always told the truth. Even if it would get him in trouble, I did it. And if we do the same type thing in life, when you tell people that you did it, what do people do? You disarm them. You disarm them, and they're waiting for you to not tell them the truth so they can get you. But once you tell them, I did it, the conversation can change to this is how we can move forward. This is how we can move past this. You will never be clean until we admit that we are unclean. Until we admit we are unclean, we minimize how God can use us. Any clinical psychologist or medical doctor can't do anything for you until you first admit that you have a problem. See, Jesus said in his teaching, you know, they that are whole need not a physician. I have an illustration for you. In life, sometimes we don't like to admit who we are and where we are. Guys can probably attest to this. Let's say, suppose you ride your bicycle. Back in the day, you try to show out, take your hands off the handlebar, and you're riding that thing, and there's a lot of people out there, you're showing out, you got your guy friends out there, the little girls out there in the summertime, you're feeling good. And let's suppose you hit a bump in the road. And when you hit this bump, you fall down. You get cut up. But because the girls out there and the guys out there, you know what you do as a guy? You jump straight up. Ain't nothing. I'm all right. I'll be right back. And you're trying to get in the house. You know, you're trying to ride that bike and get in the house. And maybe you go to your dad and he's like, what's wrong with you? Well, I don't hurt myself. Well, you shouldn't have been doing this and doing that. Man, you ain't looking for that type of, you know, response. So you say, no, let me try mom. Oh, baby, you got cut up. Let me go get the aloe. Let me go get the Neosporin. Let me clean you up. And as a child, you look for that. You know, guys, they might not admit it, but when you hurt yourself, you weren't going to dad. I was going to mama because daddy going to tell me to stop crying. But mama going to give me this TLC. She's going to make me feel good. And she's going to say, now, baby, what happened? Now, you shouldn't have been riding that bike without your handlebars. You know, I heard your daddy tell you not to do it the other day. And you didn't listen, and you did it. You did it, and you hurt yourself. Have you learned your lesson? Because, see, you're going to have these scars the rest of your life to remember that time you tried to show out. But sometimes we don't like to admit that we have problems. And we can't be helped until we admit that we have problems. See, the negligent nine is a warning and a reminder to the members of the church that it's not enough just to know what to do. We must do what we know to do and what we've heard to do. We can't be a hearer only. We must be a doer. See, sin will separate us from God, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Sin will segregate and sin will annihilate. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Ask David. Ask Adam and Eve. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Ask the Israelites when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Ask Achan. He stole some things and it caused him to be killed, but his entire family to be stoned. We should thank God for dealing with sin. Sin is like leprosy. Once you get it, if you don't come to Jesus, there's no cure for it. Sin is like leprosy. Once you get it, if you don't come to Jesus, there's no cure for it. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 of that same chapter says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, when you think about that, in Leviticus, it talks about the cure for leprosy. You had two birds that you would take. One would be killed and one would be sacrificed and the other would be let go. But you had to take that blood from that bird, and then you had to place it under that running water. Now, when you think about the water and the blood, I see Jesus. See, when you think about that, you have to understand. I see the Jesus' blood shed on Calvary. See, none of us can see the blood until we contact the water. See, when that soldier pierced his side, out came blood and water. When you think about the blood and the water, those are the two catalysts that brings us in contact to God's grace, to God's mercy, God's forgiveness. Until one contacts the water, he will never reach the blood. Thank God for the blood and the water, because you must go down into the water, come up out of the water to contact the blood. There's no such thing as dry cleaning the soul. You must come the way that is prescribed in Scripture. The Scripture says you must hear the word. Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Verse 6 of that same chapter says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he has rewarded them that diligently seek him. And Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, the Bible says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Bible says, they asked him, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. You shall receive the remission of your sins. See, we've already had someone do exactly that today. They've come in contact with the blood of the Lamb, and they've been added to the Lord's church. They're on their way to heaven. Now, see, many of us have done that. See, this story, there's a lot of different illustrations that we can do and give, but tonight I'm going to go ahead and save my applications for the night, and tonight's lesson will be short. I got six applications that I'll give you from this lesson. If you come back tonight, you'll get it. If not, you can sign a clipboard and you'll get it. But I don't want to take up the time. I just want to highlight the fact that the tragic 10 represents the world. All of us have a problem and all of us need a savior. The negligent 9, all of us have been blessed by God. All of us have been given something by God, his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has done what he needed to do, provided a way for us all to be saved. But some of us will be negligent and not doing the very things that we know that we should do. Just like some of us, we know we might need to change the oil in the car. We might drive 10,000 miles over the oil change. Some of us will see the light in the car that says that we need to get gas, and we keep trying to go. And the gas run out and you get mad. You start blaming people. Some of us have warning signs that we need to go to the doctor. Something doesn't feel right and we don't go. And then something happens and you say, why me? But the thankful one ceases the moment to honor God and to respect God. See, Sunday night is a time in which we can demonstrate that we are a thankful one. Because we have another opportunity. Guess what? When we assemble, when we can assemble and when we do, guess who you're in the midst of? You're in the midst of God. Well, two or three are gathered. There I am in the midst. But when you choose not to come, you're saying, you know, I don't even want to be in your presence. And you demonstrate to him that you want to be negligent and you're not thankful. This lesson, I hope, will help you to understand and know. Be thankful for what you got. God has given you a whole lot. You live in the United States of America. That's a lot. If you go to some other countries, another place in this world, hot water, like people have in the projects, you don't have hot water. You have rationed hot water for the day. But sometimes we just go through life and we're just not thankful. We're not appreciative of what we have. Take the time to slow down and appreciate what you have. If you're here today, never obey the gospel. The plan has been outlined for you. If you're here today and maybe you haven't been thankful, maybe you haven't demonstrated your love and appreciation for God, and you're a Christian and maybe you strayed back to the world, maybe you haven't demonstrated to God that you're thankful, you've been living as if you are negligent, hey, you have an opportunity to make that right today. Jesus said, John said that in 1 John 1:7-9, if you confess your faults. You know, you gotta, if you confess your faults and you bring your problems in those situations, acknowledge your problems, you can be forgiven of them. If you're near today, you need to pray, know what sin is, please come while together we stand and sing invitational song.